A Napa guy knows not to judge a man by his car's multicolor paint job or absence of modern gadgetry. Who cares if it's technically old enough to vote and the windows are powered by the strength of your left arm? Your monthly payment is zero, and it'll stay that way. Because with over 400,000 parts and a little Napa know-how, you can keep anything on the road. She may not be pretty, but she's all yours. That's Napa know-how.
This is the Real Ass Podcast. Here's your host, Louis J. Gomez. Boom chop, boom chicka chop, chicka chicka chop, chicka chop, boom chop, chicka chicka chop, chicka chicka chop, chicka 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 chop, chicka chicka kike, chinky.
Sorry. I threw a kike in there because I was saying chink a lot and I felt like I really got to even the playing field. The Asians have had it hard enough for too long. We're coming back at you, Jews.
Have they?
Yeah, I think so. We're very open to being racist to Asians, Hispanics, the Jews and the blacks.
We don't call Midtown Jewtown.
Yeah, it's very true. And we should.
I thought you were going to say something else. I was like,
we
what?
Should.
Yeah. The Diamond District.
Yeah, can we rename the Diamond District Jewtown? Yeah. That'd be so much better and more accurate, to be honest. They don't just sell diamonds there. They sell rugs. Shit like that. This is the Real Ass Podcast. I am the Puerto Rican rattlesnake, Louis J. Gomez, hanging in studio with the international superstar, Zach Amico.
Hello.
Chris Tinkle is here.
Fucking dude, you know how great it feels to be mentioned second because fucking dead silence isn't here right now?
Yeah, with really Scopo, Scopo cannot ruin the flow, right, Maddie? Play the drop anyway, because anytime the flow is ruined, I'm still going to blame it on him. Oh, you're just not ready?
Go. Dude, his spirit is always going to be here.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
His spirit is always
just blessed. Mentioning Chris Tinkle ruined the flow of the intro.
Chris Scopo, flow ruiner.
And in his place...
Happy to take up the mantle to ruin the flow.
Yeah, look, we've had
one
you
of the
on,
greatest flows in the industry.
Yeah, I'm going to be honest with you. We've had you on the show before. It's been a while.
Yeah,
it's been a really long time. I think it was since we were up at Stand Up New York Labs. But very excited to have you back. The hilarious... lovely and talented Caitlin Bailey.
Thank you.
Do you see what I did there? I put hilarious before lovely because mm-hmm. that's a common.
Because you're a feminist.
Yeah, I am a feminist. I am. I'm a real ass dude. Real ass dudes are feminists.
Uh huh.
Okay, I'm an equal opportunist. I fucking treat women the same way I treat dudes.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't call Zach lovely and talented. I'd call him talented and lovely. But I did include the lovely because you are lovely.
Thank you.
Is that offensive, Caitlin? When
I don't
a guy
think so.
Introduces you on stage and says, hey, your next comic. Lovely and talented Caitlin Bailey.
On the spectrum of things that I'm upset about, that's not one of them.
That should be you should do a podcast called Lovely and Talented.
Lovely and Talented.
That's a great name for a podcast. Yeah.
Spinoff?
Yeah,
I'll
sure.
pitch it.
Yeah,
it'll be
do
fun.
It. Let's rock and roll.
Something to do during the day.
So Caitlin, it's been probably a couple of years even since you've been on the show.
I think it's been about a year, right?
A year?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Ish.
Yeah, sure, something like that. How's it
Back
been going?
I was babysitting.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
I used to trust you with my child.
I know. It's weird.
And then I came home one day, and the refrigerator magnets said vapid whore. And I was like, okay, maybe Caitlin can't watch my child anymore.
I was like, dude, James is a fucking genius. I was like, good Lord. I mean, not only can he spell, but
he,
fucking
he
just...
nailed he already, it.
Yeah.
He nailed it. It said relentless
What does the
cunt.
Refrigerator say? Half and half, $75.
Relentless cunt and vapid whore. Oh, man.
Maddie, what did I tell you?
Oh, I was waiting for the plugs.
I told you just to go into the music. Waka waka. Sorry, I'm in a singing song. Mood tonight. And I said waka waka, like Fozzy.
Fucking Slipknot has like five melodic songs, and the rest are complete horseshit. But goddamn.
No, Slipknot's great, period.
Yeah, but they have five songs that you could fucking, you know. You can jam too.
Cross the board, great band. I used to make fun of Slipknot because I thought they were silly with their dumb fucking masks and a pig clown banging on a fucking drum or banging on a garbage can. I was like, how stupid is this? And then I became best friends with the pig clown and Zach Amico.
So now and I have banked garbage cans.
The early days of them like traveling as a band with all those masks and nine dudes in a little car to go share one fucking drink ticket makes me laugh so much. Yeah. The fact that they made it.
Well, you know, they were like a super group kind of thing.
Yeah.
It was basically, they were different members from all the best bands in Iowa. And they all weren't going anywhere, so they decided to form this like side project. So basically, there's just an entire local music scene.
Yeah.
All the best guys decided, fuck it.
Yeah.
And it worked.
And five of them were like, dude, I don't want to be seen with these guys. Let's put on silly masks.
Yeah.
And then it clicked. There was a weird little insurgent of mask metal, like Mudvayne and like
Mushroom Head.
Yeah, yeah. Just stupid. I don't like masks for the sake of wearing masks.
I just like that they kept all like the
what are the acceptable reasons to wear masks?
What are the acceptable?
Robbery, crime. Obviously.
Yeah, I would say, yeah. If
robbery.
You're fucking,
yeah.
If you need to, yeah.
Sex thing.
Yeah.
The sex thing, yeah. If you really want to bring out the animal
raping.
Inside.
Yeah.
What?
Meat and potatoes raping.
All right,
using a
yeah.
mask.
I mean, that's okay. Just polite. You don't want to, like, sear your face in
when
your
I
memory.
Date rape, I wear a mask. I don't know. It just kind of turns me on. If I show up at...
By the girl's request.
Yeah, yeah.
If I
if
show
okay,
up...
If okay, Cupid profile has a photo of you in a mask, it's their fault.
But I don't even wear, like, a ski mask. I wear, like, an Avengers mask. I got the Iron Man mask on. Yeah. Look, guys, real quick, let's get these plugs out of the way. Caitlin Bailey, anything to plug? We
yeah.
Do it up top.
One woman show. Come see Contagious. Tickets are on sale now for New York Fringe and United Solo.
Yeah, and yeah. Big J went and saw it. I was supposed to go see it. I
you
ended
were.
Up not seeing it. I'll see it this time
you're
around.
You're a disappointment, like, wall to wall.
We're
going to
talk
okay.
About this.
Oh, good.
We're
oh, good.
Talk about the disappointment.
You are
going to
come see it this
life.
Time. Right?
I will come see it this time.
All right, I'm holding you to that.
I'll buy tickets for everyone on the podcast.
Fantastic.
We'll all
do
come and
now.
See it, and we'll do a review of Contagious.
We're almost sold out for United Solo.
Well, never
so
mind.
Get on top of it. Yeah, New York Fringe is coming up.
Chris Tinkle.
I did not know that it was called Contagious. I thought you said Contagious, and I'm like, that sounds a little STD for my intake,
yeah.
My taste.
Now
and now I really want to see it.
Yeah.
Anytime you can throw the word contagious.
Well, my son named it with refrigerator magnets. Tinkle, what do you got coming up?
Fuck. I got a bunch of shows coming up in Philly and SF in late summer. And listen to Hyman Fisting Podcast tonight. We have a funny, we're doing a funny bit like the top five inspirational corner speeches and whoever cries first loses.
Oh, hilarious.
And
well, it's tomorrow.
Dude, I cried already. Yes, tomorrow at noon live. I already cried already listening to the ones that were getting ready. So
very nice. Very nice. I love a sensitive man, Zach Amico.
Just follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Zach is not funny. Hit me up on Snapchat at Zach Amico. And keep an eye on my social media. I got some comic book conventions and some movie screenings coming up all summer. And looks like my new movie's coming out at the end of the summer. I'm very, very excited.
Fuck yes, Zach.
That's awesome.
Real quick, guys. First of all, you listen to this on iTunes or on Google Play. Realize we do the show live every Wednesday, 12 noon Eastern Standard Time, gasdigitalnetwork.com. You guys can watch live. You can get check out all the other videos of the shows because we do have a video element as well. We have a live chat. We have a message board. And we have, at this point, this is the 101st episode, so over 100 episodes in the archives at gasdigitalnetwork.com. If you want to check it out, you don't want to pay anything, sign up for the 14-day free trial. Use the promo code RAP. You get a 14-day free trial. Check it out. See if you like it. If you like it, you keep it. If you don't like it, you say, fuck it. I don't want to do it. That's that. You
now,
know?
Can you, like, download all those episodes?
Yeah.
In that 14 days?
Yeah. If you really want to fuck us, you can go in and just take everything and then cancel.
Or, yeah, I
but
mean...
But I've met Lewis's son, so
or just
don't do that.
Yeah, thank you, Caitlin.
You're welcome.
Yeah,
or just do what people do when they go to porn sites and they subscribe for a month. You just download the entire website.
Yeah, that's okay, though. But that's I actually think that's okay, too, because the people that would go through that effort of downloading 100 episodes really
don't
like
call
the
me
show.
A fucking loser, dude.
No, what they'll do is they'll probably come and see us live. They'll probably buy a t-shirt eventually. So that's fine. If you care that much, more power to you. I think that's okay. If you're poor and you can't afford this, it's $6 a month if you sign up for the whole network. It's only $2.50 a month if you sign up just for this show. So it's nothing. It's a fraction of a fucking Happy Meal. Also, guys, I have a tour coming up this July, mid-July. Myself, Dave Smith, and Rob Mayhew, special guest. Rob Mayhew, the Where's Big J tour. Legion of Skanks presents the Where's Big J tour. It's going to be July 13th through July 18th. Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, Providence, Rhode Island, Washington, D.C., Chicago, Illinois, Indianapolis, Indiana, and Nashville, Tennessee. Six different cities, six different nights, the 13th through the 18th. Go to legionofskanks.com, and there's ticket links for all of the shows. So legionofskanks.com, click on the shows, and we're good to go. All right, we're good, Maddie. Thanks, buddy. Thank you for having the wherewithal to fucking rewind the song a little bit. That was good,
nice.
Maddie. That was very good, my friend. So yeah, what a day, guys. It's fucking hot as balls outside. I have a mosquito in my apartment.
Oh.
And for two nights, it's been fucking destroying my life. One fucking, and I see him once in a while. I see him once in a blue. I see him just fucking flying.
You see him. Ask him to leave then. No. If it's that fucking casual.
Have you named him yet?
Cunt. I fucking name him cunt because I can't sleep. I can't. Here's what happened, right? I did a pilot like web series with Dave Attell the other night. Really fucking funny. It's going to be coming out this fall, I believe. Dude, it's so stupid. It's a game show. I don't want to blow the load and give too much information away on it. But it was just awesome. It was a great time. But in the show, we get covered in all of this fucking weird gunk and shit. So I when I got home the other night, I got home like 3 in the morning. I washed my face, tried to wash all this stuff off, but I didn't really get it all out. But I think whatever it was that I was covered in attracted mosquitoes. Because all night I'm getting eaten alive by this fucking mosquito. And then I was like, all right, dude. Next morning, got up, showered, figured it wouldn't be a problem. There's one lone mosquito still just fucking hanging around and just sucking on my blood. You probably got AIDS now, fucking dumb mosquito. But
Zika, but sure.
Yeah, maybe. But yeah, I'm telling you right now, I got like 2 fucking big mosquito bites on my head. I got one on my hand. And it's just all night.
Wait, how hilarious are the ones on your head?
Let me see. Can you see them?
No, not really.
Hold on. They're there somewhere. There's one right there.
Okay, yeah.
That's a pimple. Yeah, but it's not good, dude. It's driving me out of my mind. So I'm very tired. I didn't get much sleep.
How the fuck did he get any blood off the top of your head, dude?
Well, I have blood on the top of my head. I have no hair tinkle.
I mean, there's a lot more other. I didn't say I'm looking fucking around. I'm seeing a lot of extra spots there that there's places that he could have easily dined on.
Are you thinking like the neck? Or like, yeah, where would neck, you go? What's your blood strategy?
My tits.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, he got me everywhere. He got me on my legs. Yeah.
Look, I hate the hands, dude.
The hands are the worst. They itch the worst. Yeah. Hands and feet.
Yeah. I can't fucking handle it. I'm so upset right now because 2 days in a row I haven't been able to sleep.
I'm so sorry that you're going through this right now.
It's probably the biggest problem in my life right now, which is probably, that's probably a good thing. Because I've had lower lows than that, but it's not very good. But I did get to watch a new TV show last night on HBO. Did you see the show?
Oh.
About the Pakistani kid who gets arrested?
No, I want to see it. Is it good?
Pilot was pretty dope.
First episode awesome.
Pilot was pretty dope. And the chick in it was a fucking smoke show. Maddie, look up the new HBO show. I forget the name, but bring up the chick, because I've never seen this girl before, and she is just a fucking, ooh, smoking hot.
In 10 seconds, I'm going to have photos of her nude.
You think so?
If she has them, yes.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Maddie could do it, too, because we're an uncensored show, the video version.
Right. Yeah, that's like a new show. Do you have, like, a special app that, like, searches?
No, the first
it's
thing
called
I
Chris
do.
Chris Tinkle's brain.
Like, how does that work? Ooh,
the first
Google?
Thing I do, yeah. If I go to, like...
Do you have an app that can search for images of women?
No, I have a dick.
It's called I'm in a Committed Relationship.
Yeah.
It's fucking, yeah, but it was pretty good. Because now there's nothing. Now that Game of Thrones is over, we've got nothing.
Yeah, there's like no naked women anymore.
Well, forget just the naked women. There's no shows. There's nothing entertaining.
Actually, it all ended too. I mean, if you like the other ones too, Silicon Valley. And,
I like Silicon Valley. Yeah, and what was the other one, Veep?
Veep is really funny.
Is it great?
Underrated, yeah, really funny though.
Yeah, I gotta watch it. Somebody told me it has the most jokes per minute.
Yeah, it's really smart, too.
Yeah.
It's pretty smart.
You're not selling it for me. I like a dumb...
I mean, I'm sold.
It's very funny.
No, you see, that's her thing.
That's my thing.
A fucking vice president being a woman, and it's a smart fucking funny... Ugh, that stinks. I want a dumb fucking show. I like a dumb movie. We talked about this. I like the plot to be super thin. I want to be able to take a piss in the middle of the show or take a dump for 15 minutes, come back in, not skip a beat.
Jesus Christ.
That's what I like. If I have to fucking rewind or pause, I'm like, this isn't my thing.
That's why Armageddon is so much better than 2001 as the best space movie that's ever existed. Jesus Christ.
Hey, Armageddon is pretty solid.
Dude, Armageddon is the worst movie.
Maddie, have you figured out who this chick is?
No, I don't have enough information. What's it about?
Dude, it's
you
the
knew
name
the,
of the
show?
No, in all fairness, you said Google that new HBO show with that hot chick.
There's a lot of new HBO
shows. That's what you said.
He could have typed that in verbatim.
New HBO show.
I did. I put that. And there's like 10 of them, so I need a little more.
No.
Just a little more.
No. The hot chick. Maybe you didn't hear him.
New HBO show.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
I love that. I love that in your most recently visited was the Sex Factor website, by the way.
Yeah.
Dude, it's awesome.
Sex Factor's unbelievable.
Wait, what is
so
this?
Into it. There, it's like a.
I'm going to say it for the fourth time. It's called The Night Of.
Oh, that's it?
Yes.
Yeah, the
thank
night
you,
Pinkle.
Sex Factor's awesome.
So it's
is this a porn site? Or
no, it's
connecting?
A porn reality show. in the style of like the VH1 celebrity reality, where regular people are competing to become porn stars.
Oh God, that sounds perfect.
And it's great.
Yeah.
It's shot it's because you get all like the reality TV junkie like sugar and like all that feeling, and then it's people blowing each other.
Yes.
Yeah. And you know how like on like on the VH1 shows and The Bachelor, they're all go to the website and watch bonus, and you're like, that's lame. You will watch all of the bonus footage here because it's all
it's
the
all
outtakes.
Porn?
Yeah, it's all fucking
great.
It's great. Actually, Lewis told me, and I was like trying to be all coy. I'm all, that sounds interesting. I mean, I couldn't. I've looked it up faster.
I ran home to watch it. I think I literally didn't talk to you guys because I was running to the train to go home and watch the entire episode.
I'm actually invested on who's going to win now. I mean, it's only going to be between the blonde chick.
Maddie pulled up just a whatever-looking Indian broad. I think it's
really,
the mom.
I
think it's the mom of the kid.
I was starting to judge you.
No, it's fine. It's fine. Maddie, just look for it. Be like, it's the girl who gets murdered in it.
Motherfucker. Are you serious?
It's fine.
Like, was that a spoiler? Or
if you read the description of the show. If you read that, like, I knew what was going to happen because in the description it says that there's a murder in the first episode and he gets arrested. So you know that much.
And is she?
It is a spoiler, though. I'll say, can I say this? They fucked up because that was a spoiler because I would have just enjoyed it to see what was going to happen. And then all of a sudden I'm like, all right, well, this bitch is going to die. He's going to get arrested. And the whole episode is you waiting for him to get arrested. Well, he's arrested, but they don't know that he did it. And the way it's really, it's just cool. It's shot really cool. Like,
is that her?
Let me see. No, that's also the mom, I think.
Her name is Puna.
Puna. Maddie, you work on that, my friend. We'll come back to you, all right? The episode is titled The Beach.
Investigative journalism at its finest. Yeah.
So, anyway, there's really nothing else to watch. This I started watching, and it's not great, but let's see. Nope. She's not Indian.
She's not Indian. Okay.
She's a white broad. All right, okay. She's a white broad.
Okay.
Tinkle
You've
wants
seen
to
Lewis's
see this girl.
Hit list. What are you doing?
Yeah. Which honestly, Indian women, I'm not super attracted to. I fucked a Paki once.
Oh, me too.
Same here.
Yeah, yeah. She. What was her name?
Mine's name was Bear Hunter.
My girlfriend's got a real like fetish for Indian dudes, and I've only fucked like two, and they were both professionally. And
but
so,
it,
like,
but it is a fetish, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's her preference. Her and her sister both. Actually.
I don't feel like Asian, Indian. Retarded children. They're all like fetishes.
Right. Yeah.
But it kind of is. Like, even in like the porn world, like if you look up just straight up porn, any type of race is a fetish. No, Maddie. Just stop, Maddie. Just forget it.
Preference.
I mean, there's fucking girl gets murdered. If you look on the Wikipedia page for the first episode, I'm sure it'll fucking say her name. Gotta hate you. I'm sorry, Maddie. You're great. You did so good with The Devil Inside, and then you fucked it up. It's like a seesaw with Maddie. He'll fuck up. He'll do something good. Mm-hmm. It's how he keeps himself around.
You did awesome when you, like, pressed play earlier. That was pretty good.
No, he didn't. That was the part that he fucked up. When he rewound it in the middle of the thing because we weren't done with our plugs. That was what was cool.
Good instincts.
Yeah.
Bad timing, good instincts.
Yeah. But, Indian broads. This one chick, I forget her name. But I remember she had only fucked one other guy in her life because she was like she was supposed to be in an arranged marriage, like straight up like was rebelling from her family. It was when I was selling comedy club tickets, and she used to just get hammered and then come over and fuck me. And let's say no.
God damn it. It's the only white girl
too.
Episode.
She's hot too.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. I'm just finding new chicks to look up later.
Yeah. Guys. Tinkle, don't worry about it. Let Maddie work on it. This is a project that he's going to be doing for the half the show.
Focus.
It's fine.
No, this is what I do, Kevin.
Okay.
I watch TV and I see a girl and I go, who is that girl?
And then you Google her for naked pictures.
Yes.
Yeah. Did you come to the naked roast?
No, that makes me uncomfortable.
Yeah. We're going to talk about that in a minute.
All right.
So yeah, dude. And then what happened, the reason it ended, this is before I was like a sexual deviant the same way that I am now. One point, my buddy Forrest came over and she was like, I really want to suck Forrest's dick while you fuck me. And I was like, that was just too much. Just too much for me. She was kind of hot chick too.
So you must have been really young.
Dude, I'd be bummed if a girl I like blew a dude named Forrest, period.
Come, Forrest, come.
How sick would that be if a girl named Bear Hunter wanted to fuck a dude named Forrest? I think the universe would implode.
Rima was her name. Rima. Yeah. I wonder what happened to her. Did you ever wonder that when you like used to fuck around with a person or you knew a person, like just like think like where they're at in the world right now, this exact second? She's probably a doctor somewhere in an arranged marriage.
I really just assume that once I lose touch with someone, they just keep hitting the pause button and that they're exactly where I left them. I'm always shocked to find out that they moved.
They've grown.
Or like moved on with their life or like made a baby. It always confuses me.
Yeah, that is strange.
Right? Especially when the kids can talk. It gets weird.
Yeah.
A girl I fucked like 2 years ago just had a baby and put it on Facebook, and all I remember is her telling me that I could come inside her because she was barren.
Oh, dude.
And I was just looking at the pictures of her and the baby, and the dude just looked trapped standing next to them. I was like, oh, she got one.
Dude, I remember.
Thank God I make those tiny cumsies.
I fucked a girl. I mean, it was the timing was, it couldn't have been any more perfect. This chick, I fucked her maybe like 5 or 6 times. She was just a pig. Any girls that I met selling comedy club tickets and they started fucking me, it's like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
You judgmental dick.
You're crazy?
You're a very charismatic, charming, attractive person. Oh,
Caitlin,
I'm sure
stop
that
it.
You...
What? I will suck on your tits right now. Don't you ever compliment me again.
What are you talking about?
I don't like
it. Your whole face lit up.
I did. I got excited. Yeah, I don't like the fact that Caitlin just said that. Yeah, no, because I'm a dude. So I hear that, and I'm like, my fucking penis starts to pump full of blood, and I start thinking
about... Yeah,
it's
how you cleaned up all that pussy. I've fucked a slew of worthless alcoholic pricks.
Yeah, but like, listen to me. When I sold comedy club tickets, I was just a fucking...
A like, slew was the other Indian girl he fucked.
A slew and Remy. No, but the guy, a chick who would fuck a guy who comes up to her on the street, like I was like a street kid, stinking of weed, you know, wearing just fucking kind of like tattered clothes, being like, hey, what's up? You want to go to a comedy club?
Looks like a low pressure good time.
Yeah, and then a girl spread her legs for me after that.
Uh-huh.
Multiple
yeah.
girls. I cleaned up more pussy selling comedy club tickets than I have doing comedy or anything else.
Do they fail for your shit and now you're like angry at them?
Yeah.
Fucking stupid whores.
But you know what it is?
Dude, you probably said, I'm sure you don't, dude, it's not, it takes a lot of work to like close that deal, dude. I'm sure that you said a lot of
to either sell comedy club tickets or get pussy.
Sorry, Maddie did find, Maddie found a scene with the girl, by the way. Pull it up on the big screen, Maddie. Up here, Caitlin.
Oh.
Let me put my hands on the table.
Oh, is this the trailer?
Yeah.
Her.
She's cute.
She's hot, dude.
Now she's hotter.
Now she's more attainable for Tinkle.
Totally bag her now. Fuck yeah.
I could come on her and she couldn't say shit.
Yeah.
But she said she wanted to go.
Yeah, that's all in the trailer, dude. You can't fucking be mad at me for spoiling.
Oh, I didn't know.
Yeah,
no, didn't
so that
know.
Guy's in jail, or at least being questioned.
I'm going to watch it now.
It's pretty good. I was surprised because I don't...
Is that her still?
Yeah, that's her still.
I'm going to have to learn how to do that with my eye makeup.
I mean, also, the guys that are in this room, I don't want to like spoil like one of the hot scenes. Or I will, whatever. So she like grabs a knife and she puts her hand out and they're doing blow in her room and she like stabs it in between her fingers and then she's like, now you do it. And he does it to himself and then they do a little more blow and they start drinking and she's like, now you do it to me. And she puts her hand out and then he fucking stabs her in the hand and she doesn't even flinch. She just fucking goes, and she starts making out with him hard, and they fuck with like blood all trickling down his back. All this DNA, all this fucking DNA is over all over this poor Indian kid, dude. When he leaves, you'll
she
see.
She told me to stab her hand.
It was pretty hot, and there's no, she's not nude in the show, so that makes me think that she's not nude anywhere else.
God damn it!
Yeah,
this story had so much promise.
Yeah.
That's all right.
But she's hot. She's
she's beautiful.
Little smoke show fucking Spanish girl or whatever. But yeah. What were we just talking about? Oh, yeah. I was talking about getting pussy selling comedy club tickets.
Right.
And you know this too because you sold comedy club tickets. Sinkle, did you ever sell comedy club tickets?
No.
I was already out of it when
I
met you. You didn't do anything.
I did.
You
did?
You sold tickets?
Yeah. For the Tribeca Comedy Collective when I started that, like one of my first years here.
Really?
Yeah.
So funny because whoever...
And I also canvassed for like 2 years. That was like a similar but different
we were
thing.
Doing it before it was like a thing. There wasn't... There was me and one other team out in New York City selling comedy club tickets.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Okay, then there was guys that were selling like hair salon packages. There were street canvassers for like Green Earth or fucking
ACLU,
some shit like that.
Planned Parenthood.
So, but I was like the shit at it. And I think the reason girls would fuck me is because the same skill set that you use to sell,
yeah,
you're also using to get pussy.
Yes.
Yeah. You're stopping them. You're engaging them with questions. People love to be asked questions. They love talking about themselves. Then you are familiarizing them with your product,
mm-hmm.
and then you're closing. You're going through a closing triangle. They go, no. You say, yes, no,
the
yes.
Product's your dick?
Yeah.
Okay.
Dude, the closing triangle is the most rapey thing when you're trying to fuck a chick.
Stop closing your triangle.
What's the closing triangle?
It's where they say no. You rebut that no with a yes, and you ask again. So it's a triangle. So they say, no, I'm okay. I don't really want to go to the comedy show. I don't have time. But like, all right, well, no, I understand that. You don't ever disagree. You say, well, you know, these tickets are good for any night you want to go. You don't have to go tonight. Come on, let's just do it. You bring
you don't
back
have to fuck
to
me
close.
Tonight. We can fuck another night.
Yeah, but it's that's
I
really.
That you feel that way.
But thank you for doing the impression. Everyone does the impression.
It's easy.
But it really is the same exact skill set. If you meet a chick, you know, you go on a date with a chick, that's like the best way to get a girl to be into you is just ask questions.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. That's it. Just keep on asking them questions. If you ever get stuck, and I've done this all the time because I used to be terrible, like unless a chick was really like worshiping me, I was really terrible on a date. But then I learned, just ask him another question. And just make it as broad as possible. Tell me about when you grew up.
Do you like that kind of plying attention? Like, if someone, like, worships you, doesn't that make you, like,
No, I don't really like it. I don't. I like that for, like, a very short amount of time.
Right.
You know? But I was really bad, unless a girl was just throwing it at me, I was really bad at, like, you know, I was bad at dating. I wasn't good at going on a date with a chick until I started to apply sales methods into dating. Yeah, the closing triangle.
The closing triangle.
Yeah.
So, like, rape is like the closing triangle without the other two pieces. It's just the no part.
Yeah.
And then you just stop right there. Okay.
Good enough. But I'm bigger than you.
Always be closing.
No matter what.
You turn every no into a yes.
Ew.
Yeah. It's true. It really is true. But I would, that's what I would do. I would
turn every no into a help me.
I would meet these girls and I would find out within 5 minutes of talking to them and trying to sell them comedy club tickets. I would know where they're from. I would know what they're doing mm-hmm. in town. I would know, you know, what school they went to. I would know what they like, what they do at night. And then all of a sudden they're giving up this information. This guard is down. I'm being funny. I'm being charming. I'm being in the moment. And then they're like, oh, I like this guy. He's like interested in me. And it's
and
like,
little did they know that years later you'd be judging them for letting you fuck them.
I'm not judging them. That's I'm just bullshit. Saying, I'm not judging them. I'm just saying, you ladies, you should have a better guard.
I mean, if I could say something about you, though, like, I see a lot of dudes try to do that kind of shit, and it's creepy because it's forced. Dude, you are, like, effortless. Because you're just, like, a naturally nice dude. I remember when we were doing the shows in San Diego, and this girl came up to me, and Lewis came up and was like, dude, calm down. All you have to do now in this set is not bomb, and you're a fucker. And the way you all explained it to me, and I was like, oh.
Yeah. It's recognizing the moment as well, and then not pushing it too far. Recognizing when you have the sale closed. In sales.
When was the moment that you knew you got a hard no from me?
A hard no from you?
Yeah.
From Comic Club tickets?
I really didn't know. And until just now, I think you kind of want to fuck me again.
What?
Yeah. Just my charming, my good looking, funny, all that stuff. Yeah. I'm back in.
Okay.
I never got a hard no. You can't tell with every girl, right? I'm not saying that you could just tell. What you can tell is when a girl does want to fuck you. There's an instinct. Most guys ignore this instinct because girls typically will kind of wear it on their sleeve. If you get a feeling that a chick wants to fuck you, typically that feeling is right. Don't fight that instinct. That instinct is you saying, oh shit, that's happening right now. And just like in sales, you can fuck it up. You can push it too far. Like when there's a moment where you ask for the close in sales where you say, let's say you're selling cars. You're like, all right, dude, so what do you think? Do you see yourself in this car? Yes. Is this perfect for your family? You found out all this stuff for you. You know, you said you want a car that's safe for your family. SiriusXM for 3 years. You love, you know, Howard Stern every morning. You see yourself driving this car? Yeah. Like, cool. All right, let's just do it. Let's sign the paperwork. You push it in front of him. The next person to speak loses that battle. And that's the same thing with, like, women is, like, recognizing the exact moment. And you go, like, am I going to push it too far? Am I going to come off too desperate? Am I going to fucking...
I don't promise this girl 5 iPhones. Was that too much? Should I have said 1 with Sirius included?
I also feel 3? Like what, like, the scam artist community knows that, like, once a sucker, always a sucker. So if you can get somebody to buy comedy club tickets off the street, they're probably not going to be difficult to talk into other things.
But that's not true.
No?
No, because I don't think people, a lot of people do this with like the comedy clubs in New York because people get ripped off a lot. And we weren't ripping people off. I was doing it in an honest way. I was a huge fan of comedy when I started selling comedy
tickets.
Which made
you a great salesman for comedy.
I also produced my own shows. So it was like, I was at the clubs. A lot of these guys that are selling tickets now, they're like, oh yeah, Chris Rock's going to be there. And they're fucking gone in Times Square. They sold you $80 worth of tickets and they're gone. I was producing my own shows and I was putting my buddies up. This even before I was doing stand-up comedy. I was friends with guys like Kurt Metzger and Big J right when I started because I was already putting them up on my shows. So I couldn't lie to people because they would come and they go, oh yeah, dude, you fucking scammed me. I had to be accountable for everything I did. So I was really selling it fairly passionately. You know, somebody like Big, I've been telling people, literally telling people Big J is the funniest person on the planet for 12 years. You know, for years, I was like, ah, dude, you don't know this guy, but trust me, he's the fucking, the shit. Kurt Metzger, nobody's heard of this guy, but he's the fucking shit, you know? So, no, a good salesperson can sell anybody anything. And people who are sold, I don't think of them as suckers. I think they're human beings. A good salesperson recognizes they figure out what to sell people based off of, and it's like emotional triggers. Mm-hmm. If I'm trying to sell somebody something, I'm asking them questions, I'm looking for the little things that kind of get them going. You know, it could be going out and drinking with your friends, you could have a date coming up, you know, whatever. And this is no matter what product you're selling, you know. And then also, like, I'm easily sold because I recognize when somebody's a good salesperson. If somebody's a good salesperson and I recognize that they're going through the actual, you know, sales process and they're good at it, I'm like, oh shit, even though I'm being told, I'm going, dude, I just respect the fact that this person's good at that. You know, it's the same thing with hooking. It is. When I went to the Bunny Ranch, those bitches,
that's a really different scenario.
Well, it was
scenario.
Meat and potato sales.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was
well,
crazy.
Absolutely. Of
it
course.
Was strip crazy.
Club, that's probably closer mostly to strip meat. Club dynamics.
Like, some of the girls were a little potato-y.
A lot of, yeah.
Yeah, there were some potatoes in there.
Carb friendly. Lumpy.
There's something for everyone.
But I don't know what the sales process was when you were...
By the time they walked in the room, the sales had already been done. And
yeah,
it was
that's
like,
true.
I found that with... unlike when canvassing, that was more salesy, right? Like, but I'm selling idealism. I'm selling the idea that you're a part of something bigger than yourself. You know, give me your credit card information and you can be, you know, an ACLU warrior or whatever. But with prostitution...
I've definitely gotten a hooker and been part of something bigger than myself.
But with prostitution, I found like the more elusive, like the less I said, the better it was.
It's it's a different type of sale.
Like they'd be plying me for questions. Like the more I gave them,
it reminds
the
me of cold
less
calling,
likely I was. Yeah,
you know, and it's where because it's a different type of sale, and it's not really sales, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's when you're just playing the pure numbers. The number ratios are part of sales, right?
Right.
So it's
stops, conversations,
right.
Closes.
There's a ratio.
Yeah,
that's why I was always able to be a good salesperson because you hear this in sales a lot. Every no gets you closer to a yes.
Yep.
If you really give
if
yourself
only
to
the
that,
yeses matter.
Right. Well, that,
yeah.
And then
you can't let the no impact the next. Like, yeah.
And not only don't let Maddie, can I get another coffee, please?
Same thing with
not only do
with
I not let
comedy
it,
or entertainment. You can't let like the failed auditions. You can't take those no's
right
into the room with you.
Forget I do take them into the room, and I'll tell you why.
Okay.
It's a positive thing because without the no's, the yeses don't exist. So if let's say I can close 1 out of 10 people or 1 out of 4 people. Well, let's say you nail 1 out of 10 auditions, right?
Sure.
Then I'm going, all right.
Did
well,
not think you were going to say auditions.
You nail 1 out of 10 autistic women. No, that I take them with me because I go, okay, that's an
your
absolutely necessary part
sure
of the process.
Absolutely.
Every time somebody would say no to me when I was selling gym memberships, I'd go, boom, get them out of my office because I know I close 1 out of 4 people that step out of my office. Good. Another one out of the way. I'm closer to my yes right now. People that aren't good at sales cannot disconnect from that.
Mm-hmm.
They go, oh my God, they said no. I feel like shit. I feel rejected. That's why most people can't be salespeople. Most people can't be comedians. You know, but with something like when you're doing the type of prostitution where they're were you advertising like Craigslist?
No, there was a messaging board in Raleigh that like all the girls used.
Right, but it was literally
it was like Craigslist.
One out of however
specific.
Many people came across your ad, and it was just
sure.
all the numbers. All of the human sales part of it was kind of taken out of it, and you were just like, all right, one out of every 1,000 guys that see my picture are going to call me.
Sure.
You know,
and
so.
And like by the time the email, it was usually logistics. So like I woke up the first ad that I put out to.
That was one of the black hookers, logistics. She was hot.
That's great. That's yeah. a great name. I woke up to hundreds of emails. So I felt like the supply demand thing. Like I had more customers.
Well, yeah, you're also
me.
Like a hot white chick.
Yeah.
Did you use real pictures?
Yeah.
Did you use from like the chin down?
I didn't have my face in them, but it was like
you didn't
body.
Show them those nostrils.
No. I hid my nostrils that you could fit a dick in.
Two more
holes.
I mean, that could have been more. More answers to your email.
Oh, whatever, you got the same nose.
Oh, dude, I got a... Yeah.
Yeah.
This is why I am a feminist, because I will fucking... Most dudes won't do that. Most dudes won't say, look at those fucking big old nostrils. But I'm a fucking very female positive here on the show.
Uh-huh.
So, all right. So you would do from, like, the neck down.
Well, no, I'd like use my hair to cover my face or like not look at the camera, or I'd like position myself in such a way that like my
oh, let's
face
fuck this girl crazy. From the ring.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I look like Cousin It in all of my pictures.
I'm going to sit on the couch and you're going to crawl through the TV. Oh. Fucking role playing, it's best.
Yeah, and then guys would fucking just call you up, and that was that.
Well, they'd email me, I had a process, and the ball was in their court. I needed a lot of things from them before we even started talking
about
them.
What did you need?
I needed where they worked. I needed 2 industry references, so like other girls that they'd seen and presumably not like robbed or
where
killed.
Where they worked. See, this is mm-hmm. my problem. You would have never gotten me.
Yeah.
Because that...
Get out of my office.
Yeah. Well, why would any guy tell you where they work?
So that I could check their identity, so that when they walked through the door and they handed me their ID first thing,
yeah,
I knew
happen.
That all of the reference checking that I had done, I'm in a vulnerable position. It's like, it's not
that
safe.
Wouldn't happen. That wouldn't happen with me. You're not getting you're not getting my real name. Mm-hmm. I'm Paco, and I work at the fucking taco factory.
And that's
I rhyme.
Why you lied
I always rhyme with hookers.
And that's why you lied to 18-year-old girls on the streets of Manhattan.
Right. Yeah.
Comic Club tickets.
But would you, if you were seeing a hooker, okay, not that you would ever, Tinkle.
I mean, okay.
just in case
by the way, when I was given a text message that said it's 200 roses, I couldn't have laughed any harder, and I couldn't have gotten any hackier in my head.
Yeah.
Every rose joke I could think of.
Yeah. Would you give them your real name? Would you give them your ID? Would you
I guess
where
if
you
it's
worked?
Like, well, so yours was like a niche thing, right? It was like an underground kind of thing, so it wasn't just like.
Well, I think it was high end.
Yeah, it was a high end. Yeah, if it's like that and it's safe and like and someone
it's
knows
safe for
says,
both of us. Like that's part of the industry standard. It's not like I was alone with those requirements. It was like pretty. That was the protocol, and that's how we kept each other safe.
It's not some chick on Craigslist whose name Shawanda, and it's like fucking midnight on Saturday. She's
I would
like,
never
she's like,
fuck
I need your credit
hooker.
Card and your first and last
that's
name.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Why am I paying for a black woman? Are you crazy?
Ha.
I didn't say she was black. You racist fuck. I said Shawanda.
So that's why you get to fuck her and then read all her kids' names written on her.
Yeah. Girl, why is there this fucking blank spot under this name right here?
What are you trying to tell me? I'm just saying that if I'm a John, okay, I'm not going to give my ID. I'm not going to give where I work.
Yeah, and you're never going to see me.
That
and that's fine. There are 100 people behind you that are willing to do those things.
That's
the supply-demand thing. So unlike every other sales job that I've ever had where you're, like, searching for leads, my inbox was full every day.
Oh, yes, it was.
So, like...
and then empty, and then filled again.
And then empty, and then... That's great.
You don't want to see her trash folder.
Oh, shit. Yeah, I mean, that's my only problem with it. And I guess you're right. I've never been with a high-end hooker where you're spending, like, a lot of money. How much money was it to bang you?
In 2004, 2005, in Raleigh, North Carolina, I started at $400 an hour.
Yeah, and that's a lot.
I mean, yeah, it was like...
That's like
a
New York $2,000 today.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
You're not worth that much. I would say
not
that
anymore.
I would say oh, I guess when you were that young. How old are you now?
I'm 29. So this was like 11, 12 years ago.
Oh, you were a child.
Uh-huh.
God. All right. I'm getting hard.
So these guys like will they try to like cram as much as they could into 1 hour, or were they like
that was very
choose
rare.
Choose your so words, Tinker.
I choose it exactly as the one to choose it.
So most of the dudes that I saw like, not most, but I would say like 40% of the guys that I saw were suffering from some kind of erectile dysfunction and wanted to like connect. They just wanted to like have a pretty what? Girl adore them and like listen to their stories their wife already heard 20 fucking years ago, and they wanted that like attention. I had like one or two clients that were just interested in like pounding me as hard as they could for as long as they could.
And you had regulars?
Yeah.
Really? Because we had an SDR
you guys,
show.
You
we had
to come see the show. You're interested in all of the questions I answer.
I know. I
want to
hear
show.
About it. I love it. I'm right. telling you, I'm going to come see Contagious.
Okay.
We had the Manhattan Madam
you
on
said
SDR
that last
show.
Time and I felt lied to.
No,
it's
I didn't
not the
lie.
First time
I wanted
to
come. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about that in a minute.
Okay.
Show we have to give her IDs at the door?
Ha. Maybe.
I'm to tell where I work? Fuck off. Fuck off.
Two references.
I got to tell some
call
fucking...
Ralph Sutton.
Where do I put these 200 roses? Is there a closet that these go?
What if you showed up with 200 literal roses? Yeah. Hold on, guys. We got
that's
a delivery
truck. That's very expensive,
truck.
By the way.
That's what I was like. That's more than a hooker. What the fuck
right?
was
yeah, that's more than
$200.
Well, we had Manhattan Madam on SDR show, I guess, and on that one with her. And she was talking about how guys want variety.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was, like, the main thing. This is why... Because I was like, well, why would anybody... Why would they even have a pimp or a madam? And she was like, well, because I have the clients and I have the girls.
And
so
playing,
the guys want
yeah.
the variety.
It's like, why have a casting agent?
Yeah, yeah. And so, you know, because in my head, I'm like, why would you need a middleman? I was like, I would just go out and fucking be an independent contractor and boom, mm-hmm. just fuck dudes and make all the money. Why would I give any of my money away to this hooker?
I worked for an agency for a period of... So I started off as an independent working for myself. And then after about 6 or 9 months, I started, in addition to my regular clients, taking agency calls because it was just less hassle. So I would pay them $50 for every successful appointment that they booked. And yeah. I knew that they were sending like well-vetted clients that would show up on time that had already done the safety check. So it cut down on this like back and forth that yeah. I was having to do.
Did you ever get any diseases from these guys?
No.
Nothing?
Mm-mm. No, I got oral herpes on my vagina from my like first boyfriend.
Oh,
before I started.
My Christ.
Are you okay?
I'll still fuck you.
All right. Yeah. Easy peasy. I mean, I may have gotten like a UTI or something, but not like. Yeah.
I think you get UTIs just from not taking cranberry pills after sex.
Or peeing after sex, or yeah, you're supposed yeah. to do a lot.
This is when you know you're fucking a girl who's just been around. She's like, I gotta pee. Every time you go fuck, like, you know what's up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. She's not new to this game.
This is not my first rodeo.
Yeah. All right. Well, this is all interesting. I want to see Contagious, and you talk about all this in the show.
Yeah. 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 Absolutely.
This is great.
It's fun stuff.
I'm interested in that world because I'm a lot more mature than I was when I was younger. Like, I don't know. I don't look down at people who work in the sex industry, both prostitution, porn, strippers. I really don't. I look at it as, you know, it's a fucking, it's just a life choice. But, and I think you would maybe you wouldn't admit this, but I do think most people, obviously you can't make a complete generalization, but most people that do get into that work, the same way we make the generalization about comedians,
mm-hmm.
have some sort of sordid past or fucked up childhood or thing that pushed them into that.
I think that the personality cluster for prostitution has always been women that valued autonomy over their reputation, that were like risk takers, like women that were risk takers. So it's the oldest profession, and there have
what
been
a,
so
what
many
a horse shitty way to look at it.
No, there's just so
that's,
many different
you know that's
kinds
horse shit.
Of, what are you talking about?
There's a sect of women that are like, yeah, I'm a fucking risk taker, and I, you know, I'm
they weren't going
woman.
Over Niagara Falls in a barrel. They were in a barrel with holes in it.
Too many holes.
Look, I'm just saying, like, you know, it's very easy.
I don't think that you can make big generalizations about the kind of women that do sex work because there are too many different kinds of people that do different kinds of sex work.
I think that if you were to make a pie chart.
Sure.
That the huge fucking blue area in that pie chart is girls that started fucking really young, were molested, had some sort of fucked up attention issue where their father left or their father was abusive or the mother. I say daddy issues, but it could be anybody.
Sure.
And it's the same thing with comics. There's a need for attention that comics have
typically.
Isn't it
just the same thing with people? Like, have you ever met a person that didn't have some kind of fucking thing?
Not in our world, because I know comedians and hookers.
Yeah.
So, You know, yeah, in
yes,
our world,
our sample size is skewed.
But if you're working as a banker, no, I think that most of those people had fucking normal lives.
Those guys are fucked up. They're all my clients. If and you they're look, fucked up.
No, I don't know. I mean, I
yeah, they pay to talk to her.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't think that that's necessarily. I don't think seeing a hooker makes you have inherently a fucked up past. And look, you're right. I would say if you put everyone on a pie chart, yeah, I think half the people in the world probably have some fucked up daddy issues or some issues with their childhood. But I would say it's definitely a much larger percentage of people who work in the sex industry. And I've talked to a lot of porn stars.
Mm-hmm.
Every one of them admits that they were either molested or had some really fucked up like sexual shit happen to them in their past. And then it's always girls that are on the outside that are claiming to be feminists that go, no, they're strong, brave women. You'd be like, well, I'm not even saying you can't be strong and brave and be a sex worker, but let's not pretend that being a sex worker is some sort of. I think that a lot of young women, especially now, kind of put those women on a pedestal, and you go, well, talk to these actual women, actually have conversations with these women, and they'll tell you, oh no, I had a fucked up past. We talked to Lisa Ann on Legion of Skanks.
Mm-hmm.
And she's broken down. She's like, I've never met anybody in my line of work that didn't have a really fucked up childhood. And if your kid is doing porn, you have failed as a parent. And it was, she fucking broke it down and nailed it. And I don't know. I kind of typically, like, if my kid became a prostitute, right?
I mean, first of all, he's beautiful.
He'd clean the fuck up, dude.
Absolutely.
Maybe. This is a better business model than Gas Digital.
Turn him into a child actor. You got to. I don't care what the damage is. You got to get that face on screen, Lewis.
A lot of people have told me that.
James just going through the fucking internet, just nailing soccer moms. Nothing makes me happier right now thinking about that. God damn it.
A little gigolo, James.
Yeah. He's writing man whore right now on the fridge.
Oh, he's just got a leopard speedo on at home.
That's fucked up, man. I have a question really fast. Have you seen the Girlfriend Experience show on
I haven't.
Stars?
I've heard of it, and I know that I'm supposed to see it, and I just haven't seen it yet.
The reason why I asked is because, I mean, not for the obvious, but also her character in the show is someone who wasn't really, like, didn't go through a lot of trauma or abuse, and she was just a girl that was, like, oh, wait, I can make more money doing this. And she realizes
that
she
just did the math.
Yeah. And there's a great scene where her mom, like, they find out through this horrible way. And then her mom is, like, talking to the dad. And she's like, oh, no, you didn't. She's always wanted, like, attention from people.
Yeah.
And that's it. That's how they explain it.
Yes,
it's
not absolute. I'm not. Look, I know for a fact that there are people out there who just fucking very logically went, all right, you know what? I don't want to fucking go have a day job.
My attention whore, like, button is pushed with comedy in the way that it used to be pushed with prostitution. Absolutely. Yeah.
And of course.
Yeah.
People sleep on cock savages. They're just some people who just, some chicks who just like wieners.
Yeah, but girls that are cock savages. Girls that. But did you have anything that happened in your childhood that turned you into a really horny kid? Because I was also a horny kid, and I think I it all comes down to the shit that I was exposed to. Like, my mom was a prostitute when I was younger. I didn't really, like, I blocked that out of my memory. I saw her with a John once, and like, I literally blocked that from my fucking memory, and it, like, came out, like, probably like 10 years ago. I was like, oh yeah, I completely remember that now. My mom fucking this old dude.
I mean, like, my dad is a conservative, he's a war hero, and my mother was like this hippie liberal person, and I think she has a personality disorder. I think that's where my attention whore stuff comes from, in that, like, she just can't see me. Like, she just lets her ideas of me get in the way of me. So my whole, like I remember when I was, my aunt told me this story recently that was very illuminating. When I was a toddler, my mother used to hold up,
my uncle's fucked me.
No. I don't remember this, but she does, and she remembers it being, like, super fucked up. She would hold out, she'd be like, do you want to wear this, or do you want to wear that? And then, like, toddler me would pick something. And then my mom would just go with the other thing, not to be intentionally cruel, but because she wanted me to wear that. And she just couldn't hear my preference over her preference.
Right.
Because, like, she thought psychologically that we were, like, the same. And that's fucked up. But that happens to, I think, a lot of parents.
You're right. That is just as fucked up as watching your mom fuck an old guy and do
heroin. Yeah. Those are the same. I'm saying, like, I'm reaching here. I'm like, I don't know. My dad went to war when I was in kindergarten for like 9 months.
When Lewis's mom said, do you want to wear this or wear this? It was just the same outfit.
No, but, like, I grew up upper middle class, you know?
Dave's calling. Dave's calling me. I'm on a podcast, Dave. You know that. Oh, it's Dave from The Stand. It's my manager. Maybe they got me something else.
Yeah, take
that
call.
Buddy? I'm on a podcast. Tell me it's something good. I like giving good news while I'm on a podcast. Hello? Why, is it something good or bad? Good and bad?
Oh.
Why would you tell me that?
You need more information.
Well, tell me now. I want my fans to get an honest reaction. You're not on speakerphone. Well, no. All right. I'll call you back when I'm done. Why would you tell me that it's bad news?
Because it's probably bad news.
It's how bad is the bad one? What?
What are you doing, dude?
What are you doing?
What'd you say? Say that again.
Can we just plug him in?
Oh, that's the bad thing?
He's such a masochist.
Right?
What is okay, that? That's not that bad. I'll make sure I go do that. I apologize about that.
How long?
Nice.
I don't know.
Okay, that's not that. Dave, when you say bad, I mean, I thought you meant like something's terrible in my career. You're just annoyed with me about something. That's not bad.
It's your problem.
Yeah, jump in line. No, you're not special.
All right, I'll call you back when I get out of here, okay?
You're fucking psycho. Dude, if someone calls me and says I have bad news, I shriek and I throw the phone across the room. And I don't grab it for like a week. You're ridiculous.
It's not that bad.
Well, you know.
Yeah, what's happening?
You're crazy, dude.
I can't say it now.
I can't believe how crazy
what?
You are.
It's not a big deal. It's just not a big deal. It was something that I was supposed to fucking... We were promoting something online that we weren't supposed to be promoting yet. And they're annoyed because I didn't take it down yet. But...
Is it the game show stuff?
No.
Okay.
Okay. So, look, all this shit is fucking great. And I just want to change subjects for a little bit because I think this is... It's really interesting. And I think you guys should go and see Contagious because Caitlin... I know Big J would have told me that it's absolutely horseshit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think he'd be honest with you about
that. Yeah, no, I mean, look, here's the thing. He wouldn't be honest with you.
Yeah,
but he would have come to me and I'm like, yeah, dude, it's horseshit. Jay told me off record, away from the air, away from microphones, oh, it was actually a great show. So I want to see it, and I think you guys should all go see it as well. Any sort of discount code you can give? Come on, Caitlin, why don't you come with a discount code?
No, like neither of those festivals will let me. It's crazy.
No, I'm talking about prostitution.
Oh.
Yeah. These are like
promo code butthole, you get 25%
off. Make me laugh and find me drunk, guys. Come on.
It's funny because your code is the same as our code for it's a fist.
You know, your code's ham.
No, I thought it got changed to fist because we kept bitching about ham sounds so cheesy.
Yeah, I got that done last week.
Okay, it's fist now. Sorry.
Yeah, it's fist. Yeah, ham was ridiculous.
It's better. All right, real quick. While speaking of hammer fisting, let's do the Maddie Justice Skulls hammer fisting segment of the day. We'll make
Here's
it quick.
Here's your go-to for all things in the world of MMA. It's the Maddie Jester Skulls Hammer Fisting segment of the day.
Let's get it on! Alright, let's make it quick and sad.
Just like Matt does.
Just like the death of Ryan Jimmo, which happened early Sunday morning. He was got into an altercation outside of a bar, I believe, and while he was walking back to his car, someone ran him over in a pickup truck.
Oh, on purpose. They murdered him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What?
And it was a hit and run, but yeah, he died and he got to the hospital pronounced dead.
Pull up Ryan Jimmo. I got to remember what
See
he looks
what
like.
Happens.
He's a light heavyweight, right?
Yeah, it
if
affected me so
guns.
Bad. I don't know why. It upset me so much, dude.
How did I not hear about this?
Yeah.
Because, you know, he's not that famous or anything, but just
he's pretty famous. He's been main card UFC.
He's got one of the fastest KOs in UFC history. I can pull that up right now if you'd like.
Yeah, you got to pull it up. I'd love to watch it. Up on the big screen, Maddie.
And when the action begins, our referee in charge, Josh Rosenthal.
Thank you for the Spanish. Anthony Perez, Ryan Jimmo. That's right, dude. Yeah, Ryan Jimmo. He looks like the old logo for the UFC.
See, this
now imagine Ryan Jimmo was the other dude, and that car was Ryan Jimmo.
This is another group of people with fucked up childhoods that drive them to do this career.
Yeah, I agree.
Dude, can we watch that? His fucking celebration dances.
But once again, if you put it on a pie chart, I would think that it's still less than people who work in sex work.
Yeah, I don't think so. Look at this guy.
The robot was sick.
I've talked about...
He's not okay.
I've talked about many times the similarities between... fighters and comedians and all the parallels between the need for attention, it being a solo sport, being very masochistic, getting into it. I actually pitched a documentary that I want to do with Bisping where we trade places and I train in a training camp and I go and do a professional fight and he goes into open mics for you know, 8 weeks and does a stand-up comedy showcase. Because there's this weird mutual respect between fighters and comedians. And you always talk to fighters, they're like, dude, I can never do comedy. That's terrifying.
Like any kind of performer, it's like we're all trying to hit the same need. We're just addicted to different drugs. Like, actors are addicted to different drugs than comedians are addicted to different drugs than fighters are addicted to different drugs than musicians. But, like, we're all... It's all... The Venn diagram is pretty... Yeah. There's a lot of overlap there.
Yeah, 100%. But that's sad, man. He's dead now.
Yeah.
That's crazy. What was his last fight? Was it in the UFC?
Him versus a truck.
He lost his last fight.
First round technical knockout.
His last fight was a year ago. Let me pull it up real quick.
Jesus Christ, dude.
I mean, I think this dude
his last fight was last night.
Googled Ryan Jimmo, and then this is what... You saw that clip and was like, okay, I can't fight.
That's
can,
crazy.
Can you imagine being one of the greatest fighters in the world and then just, like, living your life and being at bars with dickheads that you know that you could kill with your bare hands? Like, well, I couldn't imagine.
Typically, I think fighters, you know, it's... Matt Hughes talked about this, I think, in his book. But he was like, it's like when you know how to fight on that level, like you're a professional martial artist, you don't have this need to prove how tough you are. It's like you're a shark amongst fish. And it's like at any moment, you know, I think a lot of times like me, right? I fucking, you know, I'm not a fighter like that, right? So somebody tests my manhood. I go back to, in my head, to watching my mom fuck a dude on a couch. And I fucking, my mom smacking me in the face and crying because I didn't know what to do with
it. Like,
all these crazy flashes of
clean
my,
up
like,
this guy's cum.
With your mouth.
All these crazy things go through my head. And I'm like, no, fuck you, dude. I'm tough. I'm a man. And I have to prove myself. And I think most men, even if you're not a tough guy, you end up, you know, let's say you don't get into fights. You still go home and you fucking replay it in your head and you shadow box in front of your mirror for a little bit and like, I should have just drilled this guy in his fucking mouth. And it kind of sticks with you.
Yeah,
these guys don't have that. They know I can fucking murder this guy. I have nothing to prove.
I think that the difference between like apprentice and mastery or whatever, but I think that like what drives you to get that good at a thing is this like innate basic insecurity. I think like Olympians are like these fragile people inside where if they're not like the best, they fucking lose it.
I don't know. I don't have that. I'm a very motivated person, but it's never really, the motivation has never been to be the absolute best in the world. And I think it's the same thing that drives people to be billionaires or the president of the United States or CEOs. It's like you have to be like an extreme narcissist. You have to really fucking only care about yourself in order to get to that level. And I am a narcissist, but I don't think that I'm that extreme.
Right.
And that's why I'm not the best at anything.
Yeah, more like Obama than Trump.
I watched this ESPN documentary about Dan Gable, who's one of the most, he's like the best amateur wrestler ever. Like, I think he lost one match. And he's known by everybody as the greatest ever. And he was saying how he went on one date while he was in college. And the date ended a little late. And he got up in the morning and ran and felt a little off. And never went on another date until he was finished wrestling again. Because he said it made him feel just a little different. And he felt like he was giving someone else some advantage.
That's like a psychological disorder.
Oh, yeah. You're nuts.
Yeah.
I remember there was a kid, this Ukrainian kid. I forget his name. David something in high school. And he was like, I think he ended up being our valedictorian. I'm almost positive he was. But he got one question wrong on a French test. And we were in high school. We were like in the 10th grade, right? Mm-hmm. Got one question wrong. And he just broke down crying. And it's like that kid needed to be the best. And I don't, maybe had an abusive parents, or I don't know exactly what the thing was, but he needed to be the absolute best. And I knew his sister was a little bit of a slut. So it wasn't, you know, it's kind of funny because you were talking about these needs for attention and these things that drive you. It's like his way that he handled that was like, I need to go and be the fuck. Her was like, I need attention from dudes.
Sure.
So it's pretty interesting, but you know, it's fucking sad when we lose another mixed martial artist. It always affects me more than when we lose any other types of athletes. I'm just so ingrained in that world. So I'm sure we'll talk about this more on the countdown.
I mean, between this and the mosquito, like, you're having a really hard time.
I really am. I would rather him die 10 times over than have that mosquito in my apartment. I would wipe out half the UFC roster to get rid of that mosquito right now. If he's there tonight, I'm going to lose my shit. I can't handle any more mosquito bites. All right. Real quick, I wanted to talk about this Brexit thing really quick. Let's guess the news, because I don't want to spend any time on this at all.
It's time for another edition of Guess the News.
I have to know more information. I should have read just this headline. From the headlines that I've read, this man is innocent. He is the victim.
Man, these guys don't know shit.
It wasn't Yamaneika, but a lot of people think it was.
Yeah.
Was it Yamaneika? Could be. I have no idea who did the voiceover.
I mean, I'm not going to say that they all sound alike. I don't know who it is.
Yeah.
It was logistics.
It was logistics Jenkins. Excuse me, guys. So Brexit. Know nothing about this. I don't care. I don't know why everyone on the internet in America is going nuts. It's the British exit from... Is that what Brexit stands for?
Yes, it's the British exit from the EU.
From the EU. And apparently it's turning the world economy upside down.
The European Union. Oh,
yeah. You know less than I know. That's hilarious to me. You know, what I understand about it is that 52% of Great Britain voted to leave the European Union. So why the fuck, as Americans, are we all going like, oh my God.
Because of the market.
What market?
The financial market. So there's been a nosedive. It's like a financial crash that happened because the market doesn't like insecurity or not knowing what's going to happen next. And
the euro dropped tremendously.
Yeah, the euro dropped tremendously, the pound even more so. And because we live in a globalized economy... Like, this puts a lot of things in limbo. And, like, big multinational corporations don't like limbo. They can't make fucking choices.
Oh, so this is so boring.
It's basically the EU enabled, like, in trade deals within Europe.
You're not making it any clearer.
Ask me a question. Are Apple's going to stay the same price? That's all I need to know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Fuck.
And that's the
thing. How does it affect me? That's it. I'm a narcissist.
Sure.
How does it affect my life?
We won't know because the next 2 or 3 years are going to be Great Britain is going to be renegotiating all of these trade deals. Scotland may leave Great Britain, so maybe Northern Ireland. So that'll be like a rearranging of like United Kingdom. Okay, guys. All right.
And do we have any Ryan Jimmo crime scene photos that we can giggle at? Holy shit.
It's just so...
Are you going to ask Bisping to explain this to you?
The Brexit? Yeah, sure.
That would be awesome.
I don't think he's going to care. I don't think he's going to give a shit. No, Mike Bisping.
Oh.
He's a British fighter that I host a show with.
Oh, okay. So a lot of it has to do with like national identity stuff and like nationalism, and that's fine, but it's really
like
more
Jason
about...
Like Jason Bourne?
Sure.
Yes.
Yes.
So is Jason Bourne coming? That's all I care about.
But what's probably going to happen next is that Scotland and possibly Northern Ireland are going to vote to leave the United Kingdom in order to stay in the EU. And then Great Britain by itself is going to renegotiate all of these.
How does it affect Tinkle's apples?
It depends on where apples are coming from and how many different countries they have to travel through to get here.
I bet you it doesn't really matter for us. I bet you everyone on Facebook...
The global market...
Going shit. I don't think it matters for us.
It depends.
I don't think it's going to trickle down and affect us.
Next.
I think we're fine. I think 3 years from now, we're all going to be doing what we do.
Mm-hmm.
And this, by the way, this is a philosophy that I have in life, right? Play your fucking cards. The cards are always going to change.
Mm-hmm.
Why do we focus so much on the fucking cards, right? Everything's... We're going to have...
The cards that we're focused on seem dumb.
Yeah, it just doesn't matter. I don't think this is one of the cards that we should be spending our time thinking about and focusing on, because when it comes down to it, I still think you could play the game and win the game with this fucking stupid card out there.
Which has always been true,
you know?
Forever and always.
Yeah, but...
Yeah.
I just can't...
Kings change,
when people,
keep farming.
Right, that's exactly it. People just get so caught up because they're bored, and then this becomes the biggest fuck... I'm watching people argue on Facebook...
The majority of people arguing on Facebook don't understand. I mean, I'm not an economist, but like I talk to economists and they seem like the panic in their eyes makes me worried. But they panic about a lot of weird shit that doesn't make any sense to me. Like it's a lot of metrics I don't understand.
It just doesn't matter
to
us.
I do know that we don't know what happens next. That's what the next 2 or 3 years are going to be renegotiating.
I'm sorry if I brought this up. I hate it.
Why did you do this?
Can I
Come
be honest?
On.
When Caitlin starts talking about fucking smartsy partsy shit, I tune out.
Then talk about what I want to talk about.
She wants to talk about the.
I want to talk about
roast.
The naked roast.
She wants to talk about the naked roast.
More
Let's
than I
want to
talk about Brexit.
We're gonna get
more
into
than
the naked
I
want
to talk about anything.
I wish we had video because you said you wouldn't have minded us taking video because you killed.
I know. Yeah,
that was an interesting thing because I heard Caitlin Bailey
on hormones.
Hormones,
which is
Aaliyah Janine's podcast, and I really like Aaliyah. But here's what happens when I'm not around. These bitches get ballsy. Right?
Hey, watch it.
They do.
Watch it.
You do.
What did I say?
they get into
stay
like
the triangle.
Like, yeah, Lewis.
Not they. What did I say?
Well, no, you weren't that bad.
Uh huh.
Aaliyah annoyed
the
fuck out of me.
Set the record straight. Aaliyah, watch how fast you backtrack.
I'm not backtracking. I'll fuck you. I'll fist fight you on my podcast, Caitlin. I'm not afraid of you.
I know you to be a coward.
Yeah, it's sure.
Yeah,
I'm a coward.
A coward and a disappointment.
We're going to talk about this. So, look, Aaliyah versus Caitlin was the main event. Okay. And by the way, you guys both did great.
Yeah, no,
Aaliyah.
It was a lot
Aaliyah
of fun.
Janine's former porn star now does comedy. Oh. You can pull up a quick scene, Maddie. not of her comedy. Don't
gonna,
be an idiot.
Dude, I was going to be okay with a photo, but...
No, it's great. You can pull up.
Oh
the
no, it's fine.
I'm not like Aaliyah. I really like Aaliyah, and prepped. Because I know her, I could jerk it to her porn.
Okay,
you know what I'm saying?
You
I'm
can.
Like, I'm not.
Really?
I can. I can.
Okay. I was the opposite. I could never whack off to Lisa Ann ever again.
And after you met her,
and this girl I did this sketch with, I could never. I like. It was really creepy.
Can you fuck women you know or nah?
What do you mean? What do you mean, can I...
Not
what?
If he wants to stay in his apartment.
Right.
Or like her apartment. Not if I want to stay in her apartment.
So Aaliyah does like MILF porn, and I'm not a big fan of the MILF category. Here, pull it up on the... Maddie, you got to pull it up on the big screen. For the love of God.
I'm making the video look right.
You make it
I
fucking
look... I just
need
a second.
Well, then
okay.
He's
cropping the
then take
happen.
Her out of it and put in... Tori Black, please.
Tori Black is a great one, huh? So this Aaliyah, she does MILF porn... And Aaliyah's super
she's
cool.
She's really got a
is that how Sparks?
Body.
Yeah, she's...
I thought this was a porn scene, dude. I was like, what the fuck is Hal Sparks doing?
Oh, hilarious. Yeah, she's...
There we go.
Big old fucking titties. And she's funny.
A double F, I think.
Yeah, she's funny. And she's a big pothead. So I was smoking pot, she would always have weed to smoke. Super cool chick. Sucks a good dick, apparently.
Uh-huh.
So... This is Aaliyah, okay, and she's great, and I've watched her porn with her, so it's not a big deal that we're showing this. I'm not downplaying it. I'm actually fluffing up a little bit. All right, we're good, Maddie. So
yeah, this is the exact opposite of downplaying.
Aaliyah and Caitlin are on the fucking show, okay, and Aaliyah, they just get into a moment where they get a little ballsy, right? So Caitlin's like, they better have security because, you know, I talked to Liz.
No.
Can I finish?
Yeah, but you're already misrepresenting.
Can you rebut after I finish?
Fine.
Thank you.
Can I have a pen? I want to take notes on this.
Take notes on it. Maddie, get her a pen. So Caitlin expressed some concern to me when she first agreed to do the Naked Rose. You would have thought that she was Chris Rock with the amount of fucking stipulations that she came up with. It was pretty fucking... It was very extensive.
Well, was her first one, like, making sure no one has video of it?
Yeah, but that's okay. And
the first thing
that.
I thought was, can I bring my camera?
Yeah, right. So she said, look, Caitlin, if you don't know, she used to host the show called The Naked Show. And the competitors, the comics go up, and they just do their sets naked. And I never really shit on the show or downplayed it. You came on Legion of Skanks and talked about it with Big J and Dave.
And
I wasn't
there. Even though you were the only one who had seen the show. So yeah. The thing that upset me about that...
No, that's not true. Jay had seen it. Jay, not your show. Jay saw the other one with me years ago, before you.
All right.
With the dude with the fucking micro penis.
Yeah. Andy O'Feish.
Yeah. So, you know, they kind of shit on the show. And Jay's point was like, nobody's going to that show to see the experiment in comedy. They're all doing it just to get their dicks hard. And I think there's a percentage of people that do that. But there's also comics like, you within a few minutes, you get used to people being naked. And I do think it's interesting to watch comics fucking already a really hard job, like really a difficult job getting up on stage and telling jokes, especially young, the guys that are doing it are pretty young comics, to add that extra layer of uncomfortability. I considered doing the Naked Show before I went to Montreal because I was like, if I can kill on the Naked Show, doing it in front of the industry is nothing.
It's like, it's the stage equivalent of jumping out of an airplane, I would say.
Yes. Yeah. It's fucking terrifying. And I do understand the experiment. And I think most women that are going to it are going to watch the experiment. And I'd say half the dudes that are going into it are going.
At least half the dudes. And even the dudes that go in there starting off trying to see titties or like get their dicks hard realize very quickly it's not an erotic event. I mean, like you can put your own eroticism onto it if you try hard enough.
Yeah.
But like, it's not a titillating show. You're just standing there.
I get what you're doing there. Cute. So, you know, whatever. That was the argument. I wasn't there to really get Caitlin's back, so they got into it. And, I don't really, you know, whatever. It's fine. The show's fine. So I had the idea for the Naked Roast, which I should say I didn't really have the idea. It was a joke made by Mike Brincatelli. In passing, he made a joke about it. And then I was like, dude, we got to just fucking do that show. And that's when I said, let's do that for Skankfest. and we did the Naked Roast with Zach Hosa. We showed his intro set from the show last week, which was fucking phenomenal. And Caitlin's stipulation was like, hey, look, I know my crowd and the people that are coming for the Naked Roast.
I know,
or
the Naked Show. My history running the Naked Show has taught me a couple of things about managing that crowd for the safety of the performers.
Of course.
And you have to prioritize that because it's a super vulnerable show.
Of course.
Yeah.
And I agree.
And also, I mean, coming at it from the context of, I did the Legion of Skanks show defending the Naked Show. You weren't there, so it's unfair to hold you accountable for that, but they were shitting on the show. And they seemed like, you know, I'm afraid of your fan base isn't quite the right phrase, but like, based on what I've seen on Reddit and the tweets that I get, like, I'm not walking into a friendly crowd.
I understood the concern, but here's what I knew about our crowd that were coming to Skankfest.
These and
people
were
spending $90 on tickets.
Yes.
These are comedy fans. These aren't people that are just happening upon it. They're not the fucking Reddit trolls. They're not people that are eggshells on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
They're real comedy fans, you know? And typically, I'd say 99% of the people that were at Skankfest were fucking awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Like, really great fans.
I loved your fan base. I loved being there for the whole time.
It felt like a family.
It felt fantastic. And I felt like hanging out the day before made me much more comfortable because now I'm putting like real faces and real personalities to this like anonymous crowd
or
whatever.
So I kind of had a feeling that that wasn't going to be a problem. But I also assured you, I was like, look,
absolutely,
I will personally be manning the room.
I'm afraid of a lot of things that never happen.
We had security. We had a rule like no cameras.
Mm-hmm.
You fucking pull your camera out, we're kicking you out. You're not getting a refund. This is on day one of the festival, so people would be throwing away nearly $100.
Mm-hmm.
So we kind of had it set up. And I knew there wasn't really anything to be concerned about. But they get into this fucking bravado conversation on hormones, right? And Aaliyah, her statement was just so ridiculous. She was like, if somebody takes a video or a picture, I don't know if Lewis doesn't think I won't sue him, but I will sue him. Now, she said she was kidding, but I heard the fucking tone in her voice.
Mm-hmm.
She wasn't being serious, but what she was doing was she fucking had like Lewis isn't around balls. My response was, Aaliyah, within seconds, we just pulled up a video of you getting fucking boned. I was like, you've taken 100 black cocks on camera.
And we talked about that on hormones.
It's ridiculous.
Well, we talked about it.
Yeah.
I mean, like, we sort of parsed through all of that shit. I mean, there are naked pictures of me, too. Like, I mean, it's, it's just such a vulnerable thing.
I understand it's
like,
vulnerable, it's a ridiculous statement to say you're going to sue me
if
somebody takes a picture or video.
Why don't you bring Aaliyah on here and fucking hold her accountable to
this? No, I'm not holding you. I'm just saying what happened. I'm not holding you accountable for it. I'm not mad at you about it.
What did I say when she was like, I'll sue him?
What you said was you're like, I don't even know how it's a violation. It just feels like it is a violation, which was an interesting point.
Sure.
Yeah. So, but it was a great experience overall.
It was a fantastic experience. I rode that adrenaline high for 3 days. I felt like a god.
Yeah, well, it's because you get like the feeling of killing, being naked. The adrenaline.
The roast in and of themselves are a high adrenaline, like performance experience. And then the Naked Show was also that. And then to put them two together, it was fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was great.
You killed. You murdered. Drug.
You won the main event.
Thank you.
Which was awesome. But you're mad at me.
Why am I mad at you?
Because I wouldn't judge.
Yeah, I am. Yes, I'm disappointed in you because you advertised that you were judging. You said that you were judging. I thought we were going to be in this together. I thought you were going to get to experience what it was to be naked on stage and face one of your fears.
Yeah.
And then you pussed out last minute.
Yeah, just said it all to get you in. Just made that promise to get you into the show.
Yeah, no, we had multiple phone calls. I mean, like, and I appreciated you reaching out to me because of... Yeah. Like, you know, my history running the show. And I thought that we had a lot of good conversations.
Of course.
And you and the judges being naked on stage was one of the things that I insisted on.
Right. And I
think that was really important.
Here, can I be honest with you? It wasn't to get you on the show because my attitude was like I had at that point 15 people want to do the Naked Show, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't like there was no lack of people that wanted to do it. A lot of people wanted to do the Naked Roast. I kind of got myself into doing it because I needed to find judges and nobody was volunteering to judge. No bigger comics were volunteering to judge. So I was like, fine, I'll fucking do it. I was like, and then I was like, Lawrence, you've done the Naked Show, but you judge naked. He was like, fine, dude. I was like, I just want to wear a shirt though, because he's a guy who wears a shirt in the pool. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He's fucking self-conscious about his body, but not his weird pink dick. And then Ari, I didn't even think about Ari, but Ari's so willing to get naked
of course.
And at the drop of a hat. But at that point, it sort of come down to the wire. I was like, wait a minute, dude, I don't want to be naked on stage at all. I really don't. So it was more about finding judges, and I kind of like had that solidarity with them. But they didn't give a fuck that I bailed on it, as long as I found a third replacement, which was Bronson Jones.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't like, it wasn't a slight to you.
I didn't think of it as a slight to you. I thought you disappointed yourself. Like, you failed to rise to a challenge.
If
that you,
I was hot or naked,
you made a promise.
It wasn't even the dick size.
It wasn't even, it's my not dick a size hot is or fine. Not thing. I mean, there were a lot of unattractive, like, naked people.
Yeah,
on
but
stage
I
at night.
Here's the thing: when I have my clothes on, I think I look pretty good, right? When I take my clothes off, I really fall apart. And to have that level
it's
of
not
self-consciousness,
about that.
No, but it was for me though.
Fine, but
I
like,
don't have
dude.
The need to fucking do that. Like, I don't. There was no part of me that like wanted to have that challenge.
You said you would do a thing, and then you pussed out.
Yeah. Zach, you at any point did you think that he was actually going to sit up there and judge?
I really naked? Thought he might.
Oh, you did?
Right?
Oh,
and weren't you also disappointed?
I mean, because I'm just hearing this
get
for the first time.
We're
and
dudes.
I'm like,
Zach hosted the show. It was fantastic. That you released that
yeah,
first
why would you do that?
Thing.
Yeah, yeah. Wait, what?
No, I'm just saying, why would you? I mean, yeah,
why would
no.
I pull out?
No, I know why you pull out. I mean, I wouldn't even say that I would do it. It's just...
Because I thought I was going to do it at first, and then it just, I don't know, dude, it started coming down to the wire, and I was like, ah, dude, I really don't want to.
Yeah, you were scared. Of what? Like, your fans judging your body?
Not even just my fans judging my body, it was just, there. Yeah, I mean, I guess,
very,
I don't know.
Sensitive about how he looks. Like. He still has the photos of him from 5 years ago when he has crazy abs.
Oh yeah, dude! I got a video. I was watching
a
video the other day.
And he's like going right through. Right
dude, I was doing an audition. I'll turn the volume off on this, but I was doing an audition and I was just doing it fucking shirtless. Dude, my fucking body, even a year ago, was just righteous, dude. Just fucking. Look, I'm gonna show you guys this. You can be like, holy shit, Gomez! You need to get back on the fucking. Yeah, this is earlier. This is a fucking year ago. A lot of pictures of me and my kid. Some videos of me fucking. Yeah. If you ever go into my computer, you're just going to find such a fucking weird array of videos of me practicing auditions, me hanging out with my kid, and then me in X-rated films that I've filmed.
You should put those in separate folders.
No, dude. I don't need to.
Mix it up.
Yeah. Yeah,
so
dude. I don't know. Like, I was truly self-conscious. And I think
you were self-conscious.
No, but
it.
I'm being a realist, dude. Most people feel the exact same way that I feel.
Sure.
Yeah, but they wouldn't.
But
have said
those
that
people
do it.
Don't commit to judging a naked roast that nah, they orchestrate and aggressively put together.
I'm the boss. It's not a commit. I'm committing to myself. Who am I committing
I say
to?
That this was like a bait and switch, and you didn't really have any plans on doing it.
No, I did. I swear to God, I did. I swear
just
to God,
like
I did.
A really good salesman, he's good at lying to himself.
Look at this. Look at my fucking body, bro. Look at this. I was fucking crushing it. Look at that fucking bod right there. Want to see it in the camera?
Maybe. I'd be more interested if you'd done the naked show.
You want to see me naked?
That's not what I said.
I'll show you me naked.
No, thank you.
You me naked? Is that right? Did I say that right?
No.
I stink. Yeah, I don't know. That was it. I fucking bailed on it. But if I was Zach Fat, I would have probably done it. Because Zach has accepted that he's never going to look good naked. I've had times when I look good naked. You know what I'm saying? And I just wasn't there now. If I looked better naked, I probably would have just done it. You know? Because for me, nudity, I equate that with sexuality.
Which
for myself.
Is weird.
No, it's not weird. That's how most people feel.
In the U.S.
I get the... Oh, shut up. Go on a fucking other Brexit tangent.
You were the one that brought it up. You were like, I want to talk about Brexit. And then you were like, I don't know what it is. And then I tried to explain it.
People pulled their dicks out and fucking, yeah, whatever. Look, I'm saying right now.
I don't want to talk about Brexit. I don't have a lot of strong opinions on it.
Most of the time, well, we guessed the news. That was it. I learned a little bit of something.
There you
go. It felt good. It was a segment. Maybe we'll bring in Caitlin when we need fucking dry ass segments. Just to lull the audience to sleep. Yeah, and I, look, if you felt as if I fucking... Did the bait and switcheroo to you? I really didn't.
I never felt that. I never accused you of that. I accused you of
she
pussy
did,
now.
She did tell people. Once again, when I'm not around, every time I'm not around, Caitlin throws these big balls.
I said, and
at
I want to, this is the point. I
at
wrote
the
this.
Festival,
I
she's like, I'm not going
to
do it.
I wrote this point
do
down, and I swear to God, I said nothing on the Hormones podcast that I hadn't said to you on the phone or in person when we were talking about the naked show. And I said nothing to any of your fans that I didn't scream at you in the green room. Everything that I have ever said about you, I've also said directly to your face.
Real Estate of the Week, Caitlin Bailey.
He's a real ass dude. He's got a bad attitude. One might feel he's rude. He's a real ass dude.
All right, I'll give it to you. You're a real ass that week. Maybe I wasn't. I was real ass. There's nothing not real ass about just saying, hey, dude, I don't want to fucking get naked. I pulled out of this.
No, I get it. I pulled out of sex last minute, too. You know?
Right. Actually, I kind of equate it to that. You go, hold on,
consent.
Wait a minute.
You're not comfortable with it. Yeah. Your whole body's telling you not to do this.
Oh, is that the last line of your play? I don't consent. And then it goes black.
No.
Then everyone stands up and like, oh, fucking shit.
I love that you're giving me a fake standing ovation in your head about what your imagination of my show is.
Dude, that's it. That's the last line.
I'm picturing that this naked rose gave Lewis the concept of consent.
Right.
Where he's just going,
oh, I get it now.
No means no.
No means no. I get it now. God, it's always been that easy.
It's been right in front of me
all these years. Time.
The triangle,
I can't believe I didn't see it.
It separates and like, each leg flies away into the ether. Wait, there's no triangle?
The three sides of the triangle form the N.
Yeah.
No.
Oh, my God.
Oh, fuck me. That's funny. Wait a minute.
I get it now.
Oh, fuck, dude. That is really funny. We got a couple more minutes left. I do want to... Oh, wait, the show is down. Is the show down? It's got a message from... No, it's not down. That's for you, man. Somebody just messaged me saying the show's down, but I'm looking at it. I got it on my computer. I'm monitoring the show myself, so... All right, let's get into the Real Ass Question segment. Close this one up strong. Great show, boys.
Give me a fucking answer! 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 I'm asking you for the answer. It's a question!
Somebody on Twitter told me the girl from the night of is Sophia Black D'Elia.
Want to
pull that
you.
Up? Pull it up, Maddie.
Yeah, I found her earlier.
All right, we'll pull her up on the big screen. I'm going to show these guys not a fucking weird art house fucking video of her.
There's no nude pictures, by the way.
Then if you want to open up another folder and type nude behind her name.
I tried that. Okay. I went to a site, said there were none on.
I just want to see. Go to images.
Yep.
I'm just trying to be thorough, Caitlin.
And pull them up on the big screen because she's beautiful. Fuck yeah.
Right here, look. Right up there, guys.
Oh, okay.
Excellent. Fucking...
Sweet Jesus.
Yeah. She's your type of girl, Tinkle. She looks like she's 17. Yeah.
Oh, wait. I've seen her in something.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The Night Of?
No. She's been in something else. I just can't think right now.
What has she been in? Pull up her IMDb.
I specifically...
Look at that. Right there. You can jerk off to that one with her mouth open, with her tits.
Yeah, what was she... Oh...
Why would somebody take a photo like that and not expect dudes to jerk off to it?
Who cares if people jerk off to it?
Me. Oh, why would you change that?
Oh, yeah. Those images go together.
Yeah, she's hot. I like her.
I like her a lot.
She's my new favorite. I really got to switch them up. Just like the hookers, you got to have variety. I would never be a regular client of a hooker. Went to a rub and tug, I remember, twice. And I came in the next time, and I was about to go with a different girl, and the other girl came out, and she like acted upset. She was like, "Oh," and then I was like, "All right, fine, I'll go back with you again."
You're just easily bullied by good salesmen.
Yeah, I respected her closing triangle.
Uh-huh. Yeah. You didn't want to tell her that you rejected her.
You know, I have a weird thing rejecting women. I have a really weird thing about like hurting a girl's feelings. This is the difference between men and women. Women are very easily hurt a man's feelings. I think if almost any chick tried to make out with me, I would just do it just because I'd feel bad to like pull my head away.
Go up. I like how you can't tell a handjob artist that you want to see other people.
Yeah. It's go to the top, Maddie. The top. The
I'm
new
going
stuff.
In chronological
going
order.
I don't want to fucking look at...
Well, All My Children and Gossip Girl are pretty big shows, so that might be it.
You think we watch All My Children and Gossip Girl?
I don't know what the fuck you guys watch.
What it was. It was Project Almanac.
Keep on going to the top. Go to the top.
Time travel movie that Michael Bay produced.
Ben-Hur. Oh, yeah. She's going to be big. Look at that. She's in a lot of stuff lately. So. All right. Some real last questions here. If you guys have not listened before, Wednesday mornings before the show, I post on Facebook. If you need some advice, want some insight into our world, just post the questions below that, and we'll try to get to as many of them as possible. The good questions, anyway. Stupid shit I don't get to. People ask ridiculous questions sometimes. I don't fucking play that shit.
Like what?
I'll find one of the dumb ones today. Okay. Let's see. All right, right here. Perfect.
What are your thoughts on
why person? Ain't people's assholes in the back of their heads? It's too easy for an escape for shit for brains.
What?
Oh, so yeah, I guess no. It was a joke.
Sure.
Terrible.
Wow. I mean, he failed on so many different
levels.
Another bad question. Brett Bloom, why would you fight Ralph? It's like, this isn't a real question.
Give them like a year.
Yeah.
And then we'll revisit that.
No, me and Ralph are great business partners. Let's see. Did I get a show? Okay, cool. All right. So, real quick, Justin Hooley wants to know, can comedians be quote-unquote successful only doing stand-up, or do they need to do other things like TV, movies, podcasting, etc.? Thank you, Justin Hooley. You are the fucking man.
Mm-hmm.
Look, it depends on how you define success.
You know? 100K before taxes?
100K? That's not successful.
What's like, successful? Quarter million? Half a million?
Say quarter million, in my opinion, is successful.
All right. 250,000 before taxes?
I think if you can make, in my mind, success is, would I be able to make that money outside of comedy? I don't think I'd make $250,000 outside of comedy. I have made six figures outside of comedy. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to, like, I would just go back to that if it really came down. Like, this fight that we fight, it's so stressful. It's such an uphill battle. It's all the rejection, all this other shit. It takes so long. I've been doing comedy, it'll be 12 years this fall. It's crazy.
Yeah.
It is fucking crazy. Look, Tinker wants to kill himself. He's thinking about this right now.
My idea of
success. No, it's not crazy. It's so fun. I love it. It's cool, too, when you're dating somebody who's in the industry. You get to hear about how... Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah.
Dude, Stanhope has the best story about that. When he was headlining some shows. People were in line to buy his shit. And this guy goes, man, you're awesome. I fucking hope you make it. And he's like, dude, I have made it.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, I didn't want a real job. This is all I want to do. And I have, like, what's your idea of making it?
Well, so people do that all the time on, like, the Opie and Anthony subreddit. They'll call Jim Norton a failure.
What? Totally.
Jim Norton's making, if I had to guess, Norton makes in the neighborhood of 300 to 500K a year off of touring and the radio show and all this other shit.
I'd say more.
I probably
even more.
Yeah, fuck you. Yeah. Yes, dude.
I mean, dude.
If he's a failure, then I'm that mosquito in your apartment.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
But I mean, what? The other because they're not Chris Rock. Because it's not like Jerry Seinfeld making fucking $80 million a year. I mean, by the way, and who the fuck on Reddit is making a fraction of that? Yeah. I mean, forget. Just look. You can quantify success in a few different ways. Money, obviously, in my opinion, is the ultimate indicator.
For me, it's artistic freedom. I want to be financially secure enough and success. Here's the fucking. I want to be able to make the choices I want to make. I don't want to have to do.
Yeah,
anything.
But you can have artistic freedom and make 25K a year.
Yeah, absolutely. If you keep
that's
living
not
expenses,
successful.
I think that's incredibly successful.
Yeah.
It depends on what you give a fuck
right,
about.
Right. No, you're right. I agree. If you called yourself successful making 25 grand a year, I would laugh in your face.
Okay.
So
that's literally what I'm making. It is the best year of my life.
Right? Yeah. Because I've lived on $11,000 a year too.
You're not successful in this industry
stolen.
Yet. I'm not successful in this industry yet. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're still on the rise.
It's really funny to me that like people would call Jim Norton like a failure. And then those same people are like, well, I don't know if this is the same person or not. Like, I did a podcast where I just had to leave early one day.
Yeah.
And someone was like, I bet her people pulled her out of there. I'm like, what people? Like, there are no people. But you imagine what? That this is like Entourage? I have no idea. It's just me.
They're so disconnected from what the reality is. Like, they have no fucking clue. There's so many other things that go on behind the scenes, and they have no fucking clue. You know?
Quick point for comics that can be successful without TV. Was Brian Regan ever on a sitcom?
No, there are. Mm-hmm. There's a handful of guys. You know, Bill Burr up until recently wasn't really in movies, TV shows, or anything like that. Bill Burr was a successful comic before really having a lot of the television stuff. Louis C.K. as well. But a lot of things you got to understand as well is like these guys all did have pilots 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Louis C.K. you know wrote a movie.
Yeah.
15, 20 years
also,
ago.
If you're getting paid as a writer, you're making fucking bank. So that helps you not be sad when you're out doing this comedy.
Well, Louis was writing, I think, for Conan like 20 years ago, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, like, these guys, even though you don't know, they're like, oh, the overnight success of these. None of these guys have overnight success.
They've been at the table for a long time.
Really long time. Big J's been doing comedy for 18 years. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? People are just now kind of knowing what his name is. So, I don't think that you can really be successful by just doing stand-up. I don't think it's with the way we have people connected through podcasts and television now. I think you need to be doing everything. I don't think there'll ever be another Brian Regan who's just a dude who does stand-up comedy and that's that.
I mean, there are dudes that just do stand-up comedy.
And I don't think they're ever going to be truly successful.
I don't think they're ever going to be truly successful, and I think that they have sort of like the same sad ending as like older prostitutes or waitresses or any other job. Like the road wears you down.
Jazz
and
musician.
Like, yeah, like absolutely.
If you just want to play jazz drums in a band, like you can maybe you could live life.
Yeah.
But are you going to be truly successful? You know,
and successful, can you ever retire? Or do you just have to die on the road?
I have a buddy who is a brilliant musician, a brilliant fucking musician, plays everything, plays saxophone, piano, guitar. Like this kid was a fucking crazy. When we were kids, he was a crazy guitarist. Drums, bass. I mean, everything you could do. He's one of the best musicians I've ever met in my entire life. But, you know, he has artistic freedom. He plays in his garage, mm-hmm. but he works for the Parks Department in Rockland County.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like, does he consider himself successful? Maybe. I don't know. You know, I'm not going to judge him. But it's like, in my head, I'm going like, what a waste of amazing talent, you know, to not be doing that, to not be touring the world, doing what you love. Because he loves playing music, you know. But some people don't want to take the shot. And that's what I think. There's plenty of funny people in the world. There's plenty of talented people in the world. But it's the people that are willing to say, fuck it, dude, I'm going to put the 10 years in, 20 years in to see if it happens. And if it happens, you're on top. And if it doesn't happen, you're like, oh, shit, dude, I don't have a retirement. I don't have money in the bank.
Yeah, and the hardest part isn't the thing. You know, it's not the playing of music every night. It's the traveling. It's the not being able to go to your friend's wedding. It's the missing family shit. It's the not building relationships. It's the not being home, you know, 4 weekends a month.
Just kiss me right now.
I mean, Patrice O'Neill said, like, they don't pay me to perform comedy. They pay me to travel.
That was awful. It was like an acid trip coming at my face.
Right? Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm sorry.
I was sad because I'm like, well, I'm going to have to jack off to them now just to get some, you know, some weird closure.
All right, let's go to another one. Good question from Mike Solano. Would you want to live on life support or pull the plug?
Pull the plug.
Plug.
Oh, me? What are you trying to tell me something? I don't know. Fucking leave
You're
me alone.
You're not looking
Jesus
good.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, pull the plug. It's fucking over with.
Pull the plug. Done. Pull the plug.
What are the things that make like what's your last thing? Like, I had someone who said, like, don't kill me if I can still eat ice cream and watch football. And I thought that was, like, fair. But, like, so there's pulling the plug, but there's a lot of gray in between vegetable and I want to die.
If you're living on life support, I'm such a hypochondriac.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no, I couldn't deal with being in hospitals all the time. If I got bronchitis really bad, I'm like, dude, pull the plug. I gotta go. Yeah. It's done. I can't deal. I hate going to the doctor. Dentist just fucking gives me the heebie-jeebies.
He's such a coward. You just call it super early. Like, you're diagnosed with cancer and you're like, that's it. Fuck it. I'm done.
I wouldn't do it. Well, my mom, basically, she did treatment and then she gave up on the treatment. She was like, I don't want to do this anymore.
Yeah.
You know, I understand that. I really understand not wanting to go. Like, when my mom died, my mom couldn't speak. She could only whisper because they fried her fucking vocal cords with radiation. And, I don't know that I would ever want to go through that. I completely understand the people that go, hey, you know what, dude? I'm just going to live out the last couple years of my life cool and then fucking jump out a window or something. You know, I don't look at suicide as being like this cowardice type of fucking selfish thing. I look at sometimes you want to tap out in life.
Have you read Digging Up Mother?
No.
It's so good.
Oh, actually, I said it like it was a shitty book, but it's actually
Doug Stanhope's book. You I haven't read it monster. Yet.
Yeah, yeah. It's no, really, I would. Really I like reading comics books. I'm almost done Bonnie's book.
Yeah,
which is phenomenal.
It's fantastic.
So great. So funny.
Those are my two favorites so far this year. Is Bonnie McFarlane's book and Doug
Stanhope's. I haven't read Doug's yet. It's great.
It's good. Yeah, it's really well written and it's really honest and it's like the nitty gritty of like you want to. It's just so good. And I had such high. I mean, I've worshipped Doug Stanhope. He was one of my early heroes, and I hate it when comics like write shitty books, but this is fantastic. Can't say enough good things about it.
Last question. Kevin Vazzy, K-Vaz, my nigga. How does a real ass dude deal with baby mama drama? My ex is 28, but I met her when she was 23. I know it's some Kumia shit, but I still need some advice.
Wait, what?
Yeah, because he's older. He's like 40-something years old.
This dude's awesome.
I was like, did he hit her?
Yeah, you're just, you're dealing with... Yeah,
do you get a great lawyer.
Pay them a ton of money and then just take the plea deal.
Dude, that's the trade-off. That's the trade. If you want young pussy, you're going to deal with some drama. Shit. I'm not saying that every young chick is fucking crazy, but they're looking at the world through a different lens.
Yeah. I would say any young chick that would date a girl dude that much older, there's a 90% chance she's going to be bonkers.
When I was 19 and dating a 38-year-old.
Yeah, you're bonkers.
Well, yeah, we were just in such different... We weren't communicating. It was like I thought he was brilliant, but actually he just knew stuff that all 38-year-olds knew. Like, it's just... I didn't understand the adult-child thing. But my argument for those kinds of relationships is that if you're going to create an adult-child relationship within a romantic partnership...
Don't create a child with that child.
Don't create a child with that child. And also be the fucking adult. Like, you've got to take on that role. You've got to be the more mature person because, like, that's the role that you decided to play.
Yeah. I mean, I also don't look at a 26-year-old as being a child. I look at a 26-year-old as being a fucking adult.
Yeah, but unless she's in a relationship with someone in her 50s, and then it's like not even fair.
That's fair. That's where I don't subscribe to. I understand what you're saying, but I don't subscribe to that.
I think, adult at 19 too.
Sort of. 19 in my mind is still a child.
I was a legal adult. I think
25. 25 is when you start to see the world for what it is. Right. 25 is when you've gone through life's college and you start to understand it. 30 is where you start to go like, oh shit, I'm really getting it. And this isn't the fucking 40s where people are going off to war and having families at 18. The line's been pushed back a little bit. Sure. So I think 25, 26 years old, you got to take responsibility for your actions. I don't go the older person that they're dating is more responsible for what happens in that relationship than the younger person. You know, it is what it is. I think if there's a 22-year-old dating a 50-year-old, she's a little bonkers. If there's a 50-year-old dating a 22-year-old, he's a little bonkers. They both have a responsibility for their own fucked up shit.
Totally. And
that's
just
the way that I look at it.
Like, I would not have gone back in time and told my 19-year-old self not to date that 38-year-old. I think I learned a lot. I think it was a net positive. But there was some fucked up shit happening.
Is he the one that gave you the herpes?
No. That happened years earlier.
He's the one that paid for the Valtrex.
I had health insurance at 19, guys. I didn't lose it until after I graduated college.
Okay, let's go. This has been a good show, man. Great show today, guys. This seriously, is really fun. What is the factor here? What is the difference on today's show?
Scopo's not here, right?
No, Chris Scopo.
Chris Scopo, Flo Ruiner.
I don't know.
I did my best, guys.
You did very good. You did a very good job. You only ruined the flow like twice.
Thanks.
It wasn't bad. You did a good job. All right, let's hit that music. Caitlin, thank you so much for joining us on the show.
Thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure.
Once again, go to legionofskanks.com. If you're in Philly, Providence, Rhode Island, Washington, D.C., Chicago, Indianapolis, or Nashville, grab your tickets. Also, guestdigitalnetwork.com. Sign up for the free trial. Check out all the other shows. Some Part of the Problem with Dave Smith, Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll Show, High Society Radio, Say It Ain't Snow, Hammer Fisting Podcast. Tim Dillon's show is starting next month. Tim Dillon is Going to Hell, it's called. Lots more amazing shows coming to the network. We'll check you guys next week. Thanks for listening.
That's all, folks.